maybe you can have your Bibles open at Mark chapter 6. And I wonder if you could help me as I ask you this first question. What are you offended by? What are you offended by? What offends you? What is offensive to you? This is an interactive part of the sermon. So why don't you tell me, what offends you? Go on, Jan. Rubbish on the TV. Not just American, might I add. Yep, anything? Yep. Swearing? Yep. Yep. Continual. You know. Okay. Political nonsense. Not in Australia, surely. Well, it's a lot can be culturally offensive too. In some cultures, wearing a white wedding dress for a wedding would be offensive. In some cultures, wearing a red wedding dress is offensive. In some, wearing a black is offensive. In others, that's what you do. That's the norm. Black or red or white. It can depend what culture you're from of what offends you. And so what we're actually looking at today is the offence of the gospel. It offends people. Last week we heard how Jesus walked into a town and he's welcomed by this huge crowd. And we met two people. We met Jairus, a synagogue ruler, and we met a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. They come to Jesus, they fall at his feet and they ask for his help, and they both receive healing. The woman for her bleeding and the man for his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter who's dying. And Jesus has this huge crowd following him around. This week, Jesus visits another town, his hometown of Nazareth, but it's a very different situation. Instead of being welcomed there, they don't like him at all. Jesus arrives in his hometown. Actually, you were saying to me, weren't you, Janet? You're going back to your hometown next weekend. What welcome do you expect to receive? It should be positive, shouldn't it? Should be, yeah, absolutely, every time you return. And I'm guessing Jesus probably expected that as well, going back to his hometown. He went there, he started preaching in the synagogues and teaching people. He was performing miracles, and everyone was saying, wow, this guy is amazing. And then they realized, this is Jesus. This is this little kid we grew up with. This is the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And aren't his sisters just here with us? I mean, this is little Jesus. I went to school with him. He's that carpenter's son. He made my front door, you know, things like that. They're looking at him thinking, he's an amazing teacher performing incredible miracles, but then it dawns on them, this is just that kid they grew up with. They realize that this is just Jesus, and verse 3, they took offense at him. They took offense at him. They are offended by him. That this little kid they grew up with, this carpenter, comes in to their town and speaks a message of God to them. Well, move with me to the next passage, verses 7 to 12. And here is Jesus sending out his 12 disciples. You may have thought, well, how are these passages linked? Well, it's very clear on that whole thing of offense. Verse 12, they went out and they preached that people should repent. Now go back to verse 11. I'm jumping around a bit here, aren't I? Go back to verse 11, and Jesus says to his disciples, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Now Jesus is not expecting the best reception for his disciples, is he? He's expecting people to reject them. He's giving them this warning, he's getting them prepared for that rejection because they're going out to preach that people should repent. They're going out to tell people that you've done the wrong thing against God, and you need to repent. It's a message that people find offensive, that they've done something wrong and that they need to change. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples for rejection in the same way that he's been rejected so many times. Now the kick for this for the disciples is when you get to verse 8. Jesus says, take nothing for the journey except for a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Take nothing. Take the clothes on your back, a staff and sandals, that's it. He sends them out. Just have a think of this if you were one of those 12. He sends them out into foreign towns with a message he knows will offend people, and he sends them out with nothing. except the clothes on their back. They have to completely rely on God and his message. Imagine doing that. Imagine walking into towns with nothing. You know, we get together for door knocking here. We get everything ready. We have our bags, we have our pens, we have water, we have hats, we have name badges. We have all that stuff, and we go out, and then we come home after an hour or two. These guys are going out with nothing, and they're going into a town where they have no accommodation, they have no food, they have no money with them. They're just going door to door. They're not traveling back home every night to go for a sleep in their comfortable bed. They're just out there, hoping that perhaps someone will take them in. Miles from home with nothing. Now, why does Jesus send them out like that? Well, I think there are two reasons for that. One is so they can rely on God. So they don't rely on anything else, they just rely on God. But secondly, because it's urgent. Now, I don't know, as you read that passage, do you get the sense of urgency that Mark is giving us? Over these last few chapters, Jesus is moving over to that side of the lake and this side of the lake and over that side of the lake again, and then he's going over here, and then he says to his disciples, go out, go now. Don't worry about food or money, just go. If you're welcomed into a house, then stay there and tell them about the kingdom of God. If they don't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet, move on to the next house, keep going. That's that urgency. He says to his disciples, go now. And off they went. Let me give us two thoughts on this passage, on this part of the passage. The first thing is that we are God's disciples. We are the disciples of Jesus. We are God's messengers today. We are the ones God is equipping with everything that we need for that mission. You have a look at this verse we quite often look at here at All Saints, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. That verse never ceases to amaze me of what God chooses to do, to make his appeal to this world through us. We are God's disciples, and he will provide, like the disciples, everything we need for that work. And there is that urgency still to take the message out to this world. We're God's messengers. He sends us out now, today. He doesn't send us out in a few years. He doesn't send us out when we've got everything ready. He doesn't send us out in our own time, but in his time. And that time is now. Now is the time to be a part of God's mission. Right now. Not tomorrow, not next year. Now is the time to take the talents that God has given you. I use that talent in a biblical sense, that the gifts that God has given you, and invest them into the kingdom of God now. Not later. There is no time to wait. Now is the time to invest what God has given us. Now, wherever you are in life, you might be retired, you might be in the middle of a busy part of your career, you might have young children, you might have just got married, you might have studies to do. Wherever you are, you know, every stage of our life is busy. Every stage of our life is busy. You know, I'm only young, I'm saying that because I still haven't hit that next decade yet. But you know, I find every time I think I'm busy, the next stage of life is still busy. Nothing changes. We're always busy. People retire and they say, oh, we still haven't gone on our trip around Australia yet after 10 years. Too busy. You know, we're always busy. We've always got plans. There are always excuses to make to God. Not now. Not yet. I'm not ready. What does Jesus say to his disciples? He's just straight in there in chapter 6. Go. Go now. Take nothing. No bread, no bag, no money. Go. Just go. Take that message to the people around you. Take God's message out to the world. At work tomorrow, when you're at school, when you're with your family, when you're talking to your neighbours, take that message out. He's not saying everyone should just drop and become a missionary on the road. But as disciples of Christ, every person we meet is part of the mission field. It's not like you have to leave your home even. We can come back and sleep in our comfortable beds. But we must go now. You think of it, when you step out those doors, the next person you see, they are part of God's mission field. Wherever you are. You know, I have, and I know I've talked to others here who have done the same thing, have struck up conversations with people operating a checkout at the shops and managed to talk about the kingdom of God. Everyone is part of the harvest field. those opportunities. We must go now. We must take God's message out and trust that he will provide what we need. He will provide what we need. There is no more preparation you need to do to go out and take God's message. You are ready. Second thing is that God's message is not something we ought to be ashamed of. It's not something we have to change to gain acceptance. It is an offensive message, but we need to trust that message. Romans 1:16, I'm sure you've heard this before. This is the message that saves people. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed, Paul says, of that message. Many people are ashamed of it. Many people are offended by it. Paul says, I'm not, because it has the power to save. And that message alone. We don't need to change it. We need to trust it. That the message that God calls everyone to repentance is the one that saves. Not the message that God loves everyone and we'll all end up in heaven one day anyway. It doesn't matter who you follow or what you believe. That's not a message that saves, because it's not a message of truth. The message of the gospel is that we need to repent and come to Jesus. And it is an offensive message, but it is the message that saves. We need to trust God's message and take that message out. Now we could end there, and that would be a lovely mission sort of sermon, I think. But I want us to look at this passage now from a different angle. So let's lock that away. We need to trust God's message and take it out into the world. I think we all know the struggles that are involved with that. I think we are all aware of how difficult we find that personally. It's a great encouragement to know that God equips us with everything we need, that God gives us a wonderful message that saves. But this passage, let me encourage you to think about this passage also as a rebuke. When Jesus met the people from his hometown in Nazareth, verse 6, what does he say about them at the very end? He was amazed at their lack of faith. Are there times that we are like that? Are there times when we are like the people of Nazareth? Are our hearts sometimes defensive to God's word? Are there times we do not listen to what he says? Now, the first challenge for us is, do you take God's message out to the world? But the second challenge is, do you take God's message in to your heart? Do you take God's message out? Do you take God's message in? Do you take God's message into your life? Now, you might have been sitting in this church for a few weeks or a few years or a few decades. You know, God asks us all this question every week. Are you listening? Are you listening to God and letting his word into your life? It's one challenge to take it out. It's another completely different challenge to take that word in. Are you listening? You know, we hear the Bible read. We hear it preached. We study in our home groups. We read our Bibles. We pray. But the question's still there. Do we take God's word in to our life? People of Nazareth, they knew the scriptures. They had a synagogue that they went to. They listened to the teachers. They did all that. But when Jesus arrived, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Amazed. Can you imagine what a terrible thing to hear from Jesus about you? Can you imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, I'm amazed at your learning. I'm amazed at your Bible knowledge. I'm amazed at your prayer life. I'm amazed at the ministries you're doing. I'm amazed at the way you give. And I'm amazed at your wisdom. And I'm amazed at your regular church attendance. However, I am still amazed at your lack of faith. You see, you can have all those things and still be lacking faith. All those outward things we can do. We can go to church. We can read the Bible. We can take God's word out. But none of that means that we're taking it in. It's a different question. Are you taking it in? We can seem to do all the right things, but still not take God's word in. So that is a very personal question for us today. Are we letting God's word into our life? Are we letting God's word change us? Are you letting God's word challenge you? Are you letting God's word bring repentance in your life? Are you being transformed by his word? Or do we sometimes just switch off? We all have those days, I think. Maybe months, maybe years, when we just switch off. We don't hear it, we don't take it in. There are times we're offended by what God says to us. You might think, well, I'm glad that was preached today because that person certainly need to hear that. Not me. You ever do that? Come on, admit it. Have you ever done that? Oh, I'm glad such and such was here today to hear that. You thought it, maybe. Maybe there's just times we harden our heart to God because what he says is really difficult to hear and difficult to do. It's hard to follow. It's hard to be obedient to God sometimes when he says something to us. It's hard to be obedient. It's hard to forgive others. It's hard to love your neighbour. It's hard to flee from immorality. It's hard to turn away from sin. It's hard to be loving. It's hard to be generous. It's hard to be self-controlled. And our hearts can be hard. Let me suggest that all of us, sometimes we hear God's word, but we don't fear God. We hear God, but we don't fear God. We don't let his word into our heart and let it change us. We are stubborn people, all of us. I think this passage has a double-edged sword challenge for us today. Our first challenge is to take God's word out. It's to take it out now. It's to urgently take it out. It's to rely on God and to go, even though it's a message that can be offensive to people. But this is the message that can save people. Take it to work tomorrow. Take it home. Take it to your neighbour. Take it out to the world. But we also need to take God's message in to our lives. Listen to what God says. Let your heart be open to hear and to respond to him. Two challenges. Take God's message out to the world today. And secondly, take God's message into your life today. They're the two challenges. I wonder what is the bigger challenge for you. I'm always challenged by that first one. He has a constant call for us to do that, and it's really hard. I tell you what, I'm not challenged by the second one much at all. Do you know why? Because I don't even think about it. Sometimes I just don't even think about it. Am I taking God's word into my life? We must think about those challenges that God gives us. Taking the message out, take the message in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the way that you challenge us with your word. We pray now for the confidence, the trust in you and your message, that we would be people who take that out to others. And we think of those in our life, perhaps at the moment, who need to hear your word. Maybe family members, maybe work colleagues, neighbours, friends. Father, give us the boldness and the confidence to take the message to them. Father, we also pray for ourselves that you would help us to take your message into our life, where our hearts are hard or stubborn, or simply closed and not listening. May we find challenges that you give us too hard, but Father, we pray that you would really help us to let your word in. Let it transform us. Let it change us. Amen. Sing our next hymn. It's not in your hymn books. It's going to be on the screen. How deep the Father's love. You know, this is how much God loves us. It's not in Mission Praise. It's going to be up on the screen here. So let's stand and just remember, as we come to communion now and share in the word that God has given us, his Son, the word of God in flesh, what he did for us as we celebrate communion. So let's remember that. Let's stand and sing together.
How deep the Father's love.
And come to God in prayer, asking for His healing upon this world, and upon our lives and the people in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You and praise You for who You are and what You have done for us, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. Father, we feel a great privilege to be able to come to You in prayer and to bring to You all that we are thinking of, all that is on our hearts, our minds, all that troubles us, and all that we have to praise You about. So, Father, we begin by just praising You for this beautiful world that You have made, for the people around us, for the way that we can come together and celebrate. Praise You for the country that we live in, and for all the good things that You give to us. We praise You that You are in control, in power, in authority over all things. We praise You that we can trust You. We praise You that we can come to You and confess our sin and be forgiven. Father, we pray for our world, I think especially at this time of Libya. Think of the great trouble that many people are facing. Pray for those fleeing the country and other countries in the Middle East for safety, for survival. And we can only pray for Your hand to be upon that area of our world. They would see your power over all things. We continue to pray for those in Christchurch, New Zealand, for those still suffering, still missing lost ones. We pray for the government and the cities and the emergency services for the rebuilding of that area, mostly for the rebuilding of lives after such tragic loss. We pray for those known to us who have suffered loss in this time. And we pray for Your church, that they would be people in the community of light and salt, people that will bring hope in a place that is so filled with despair at this time. Heavenly Father, we also bring to You those among our own number here at All Saints. We continue to pray for Simon and JJ as they travel. We pray for Yvonne Francis for continued healing. We pray for Len Neal and thank You for his successful surgery on Friday. We pray that he will make a full recovery. We pray for Mari as well, his wife, as she cares for him and goes through this time, but also as she has her own medical needs that she is working through. And we bring others to You who we know, who are in suffering or need or sickness, those who are lonely, those who are suffering different illnesses, for those who are travelling. We pray for Val as she travels also. Ask for safety for her over these next months. And Father, we pray today also for our annual general meeting, that it won't just be a business meeting, but one of great joy as we celebrate ministry together and as we submit to Your guidance, those who are to be taking on positions of authority and direction and leadership in this church. The appointment of wardens, parish councillors, parish nominators, synod representatives, auditors. Father, we thank You for the many people who are standing for that, and we pray that You will guide us well today. May today just be a great celebration of all that You're doing among us and for Your mission. And Father, finally, we pray for our mission as a church, to be your disciples and to make disciples. And as we look at the book of Mark, we're challenged by that again and again, seeing how what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to follow you, the hard road that it can sometimes be, the mission that you have for us, to make disciples. Father, we just pray those words will just ring in our hearts each week as we look at this book of Mark, that we would be your disciples, that we would seek to make disciples for you. We would trust in you to equip us for all things. And Father, we just thank you that we can come to you in prayer. We commit all these things, all these people to you, in Jesus' name.